The word that we're going to talk about is something that if you're a human and you grew up as a kid, you have parents, you had parents that helped you grow. Some parents are poor parents, and they don't want to help their kid grow. But if you had parents that at least a little bit helped you grow a little bit, there was a word that they introduced to you that you do not like. And the word is discipline. How many of us like the word discipline? No. Okay, so what we're going to do is we know when it comes to anything in life, I'm talking about physical fitness. As you can see, I'm pretty fit. Round is a shape, so I'm in shape. When it comes to relationships, when it comes to work, when it comes to as an employee, or when it comes to my relationship with my son or my wife or you guys, that the only way that we can grow and the only way that we can really stretch our muscle, I'll just use the illustration of trying to build muscle. If I want to build muscle, my legs are still somewhat strong from being a runner for years. My arms are pretty weak. They're stronger than they used to be because I throw Pepsi around, maybe literally, but it's built a little bit of muscle. But if I want to do a little bit more of building my muscle, it's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some pain. Remember, if you guys ever heard, try to finish this sentence, no pain, no gain, right? Have you ever, someone told you that, coach, or it could have been a teacher, it could have been someone, hey, you just, no pain, no gain. And I hate that, but I realized at the end of my, whatever, I need to start working out a little bit. I know that it hurts, okay? I know that I went home not that long ago, and I thought, let me do 20 crunches. You know what a crunch is? Like a sit-up. I think crunches are easier than the sit-ups, but it does make this region, the stomach region, really hurt, okay? But I think, okay, if my stomach's hurting, that means I'm getting a six-pack, not of beer. I'm getting a six-pack right here, okay? It's starting to get muscular right here. And I know in my heart and in my body, if I'm hurting right now, it's for my benefit, okay? Now, it doesn't make me want to do it, but the end result will make me go, it was worth it in the long run. And so discipline is something that hurts, but I guarantee you, if I look at my life and I look at the times, maybe when I was a student, it took some discipline. I was not a good test taker. So in college, I so desperately wanted not to waste money. I wanted to pass the classes. I didn't want to redo a class. There were a few classes I got pretty close to failing. Spanish was at 7 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week. That's a rare thing for a college class to be 5 days a week. It was either usually 1 day a week or 3 days a week for a three-credit class or 2 days a week for a two-credit class or 1 day a week, which could have been a five-credit class, but it was a five-hour class on Saturday. But I did not want to waste money. I didn't want to redo it. And except for Spanish, I did pretty good, but it took discipline. I had to go to the library. Like kids today, they just go on Google and they Google the answer. I had to actually open up a book. You know, it's one of those little paper things you have to open up and, you know, go like that and go, ooh, there's a thing right there. And it took discipline. When I was a runner, I had to show up. I didn't want to show up. I didn't want to do track. I didn't want to do cross country. I got cut from the basketball team, so that's beside the point. I did not want to run. When I was a wrestler, I did not want to go to wrestling. Wrestling was hard. Wrestling knocked my neck out of joint. I had to go to the chiropractor and pop it back in place. Okay, my mom about had a heart attack because she saw that my neck was like stuck like that. And I said, I'm never going to do this. And actually, I was not a good wrestler. That's a bad example. But I did pin a guy in 12 seconds, but it took discipline. It took a little bit of discipline, and it took a guy that was worse than me. It's beside the point. He was a little bit smaller than me, a little bit shorter, skinnier than me, and he didn't know what I was doing. He was smiling at the end like I was Hulk Hogan. You know, it was like, actually, it was more like Andre the Giant, you know, because he was shorter than me. But I knew that whatever it takes discipline, it takes hard work, it takes some effort if I want to grow in whatever thing I want to grow in. If I want to grow as an employee and I want to be a good employee, I need to show up. I need to show up. If I want to raise, you better believe I better show up. If I don't show up, they're going to wave at me, maybe with one finger, but I love my bosses, but if I don't show up, they're not going to give me that pay raise. I have to show up. I have to do the work. I have to do my part in order to grow in any area. We don't like the word discipline, but if you're a little older than just a child now, you know from the long run that discipline, while it hurts for a moment, or 2 moments, or 3 months, or 3 years, or 10 years, in the end, if you keep going, if you don't give up, you will grow. You will deepen your walk with God. We never regret. Here's something we don't regret. Good habits. When you get rid of a bad habit and you create a good habit, if I were to stop drinking soda or pop, I call it pop, okay? If I stop drinking pop and I start drinking water, at first I'm going to go, this is hard. Trust me, it would be. We went to the Chinese restaurant in Orfino. I had 2 glasses of water. You should be celebrating that. And then I ruined it after that by having a soda. But anyway, I kind of washed out the system for a minute. It takes more than that. But I really don't believe that when you have a get rid of a bad habit and you create a good habit and it becomes part of your life, you celebrate that. You go, wow, that's awesome. And you look at someone, you say, oh, you quit smoking and now you chew bubble gum? Great, awesome. That's a good habit. Unless you put it on the ground and I step on it, then that's a bad habit. But you need to get rid of that. So good habit. We celebrate things like self-control, right? How many of us, when you're younger, maybe even now, but when you're younger, you hated that word self-control, those 2 words together, self-control. Like if you just control yourself, stop it. Don't punch your sister. Don't pick your nose. Don't pull her pigtails. Don't break her Barbies. Talking about my brother, I didn't do that myself. I was the good brother. My twin brother was the bad brother, and he would do all that stuff to my sister. You know, pull the Barbie's head off. You can't fix them. But we celebrate self-control. If you have a child or you have a grandchild or whoever, but go back in time, maybe when your child was younger, and they decided to exercise self-control, you don't slap them and go, that's horrible. You reward that. Here, have a cookie. No, you can't eat that. You're on self-control mode. No, here, have a reward. Because we celebrate those stuff. So think about it. Discipline is horrible. It's a necessary evil in life, if you want to call it that. But it becomes like a good habit. And then you have self-control that becomes a lifestyle. So these words are a struggle. It really is. To get a habit going, self-control, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit, it is a difficult, those are difficult words. But it's worth it. It's beneficial for our growth. And when it comes to spiritual growth, we've been talking about cultivating your faith, to become a faith that is going beyond just kind of a minor little petty faith. We're talking about a strong faith that does not break. It's unbreakable. It's unshakable. The whole world can have earthquakes and it can shake your life. But at the end of your life, you will still be standing before God going, I believe. I trust you. I have confidence. I put my confidence, all my confidence in Jesus Christ. And that's the goal. We want to go to the end of our life being stronger than we were at the beginning of our life. That way we can stand before God through the grace of God, because it's through Jesus Christ that we're saved. But it's saying, you know what? I am saved by Christ, but Lord, I still believe in you. We've all met people, sadly, who they had a really strong faith, but over time it weakened or disappeared. And there's many reasons for that, but that doesn't have to be your story. It doesn't have to be my story. And how many of us, we are runners right now. We go running once in a while. One person. Yeah, you do. You do once in a while. So the rest of us, if you were to start running right now, if you were after church, you were going to go for a mile run, how many of us that would hurt? Yeah, okay, you can shake your head and go, yes, of course it would. Okay, so I know for 3 months, if I start running again for 3 months, maybe even a year, it's going to hurt me. But after a year of doing it, I hope quicker than that, after 3 months, I'll just say 3 months to give you a little hope. After 3 months of practice, of training, of doing what you're supposed to do, stretching and running and walking and breathing and not getting a side ache and that kind of thing, you will actually, and I'm saying this in faith, you will actually look forward to it. You will actually look forward to it. You will actually look forward to the exercise. You will look forward, and it will make you feel good. You might still be limping if you're like me with your knees, okay? but you know it's for your benefit. So a habit and a discipline and that self-control, while it seems horrible, it's something that in a spiritual sense, it is something, those things that we do to help us grow. They seem like necessary evils, even though they're not really evil, but it's something that we have to do to grow in Christ. It's something that we actually look forward to. Now, we all know this. Here's my point. Discipline, of course, I kind of see the word discipleship and the word discipline, but that may be just me. Okay, it's part of the word. Discipline facilitates progress and growth. To prove it, if I were to run, like I used that example just a moment ago, if I were just to run once every 6 months, that's not discipline. There's no progress. There's no growth. We would know that consistency, discipline, choosing beforehand, I'm going to run at X time, I'm going to run at noon, I'm going to run at 3 o'clock, I'm going to run whatever, 4 in the morning. I'm going to choose beforehand to run, and I'm disciplined about it, and I keep going, it's going to grow me. It's going to facilitate progress and growth. And when it comes to your relationship with God, since this is not a sermon about running, because I don't want you to walk home and think, Pastor Joel, did I just say walk home? I meant go home. Whatever. But if you were to walk home, that would be good. But if you were to go home, I don't want you thinking Joel just wants you to start running. That's not my point. I want us to grow in Christ, but that takes consistency. That takes choosing beforehand. That says, Lord, I'm going to stick with it even when it gets hard, especially when it gets hard. Because reading the Bible, praying, worshiping, fasting, those are things that right at first, they're difficult. Even years later, they can become difficult. So the question that we've been asking is what are the ways that we cultivate our faith to become an unshakable faith? And I'm going to run over these very quick. Last week, I realized I spent a lot of my time just reviewing. And if you need a review, just go on YouTube and review. Okay, they're on there. But the first way that you grow is Bible application. Live it out, period. Number two, personal ministry. No one is supposed to just be a sponge and soak everything and that's all you do. We're called to serve. Jesus served. We're supposed to serve. That's the way to grow. Number three, providential relationships. Everyone in this room, whether you want to admit it or not, I look at you guys and I say, every one of us in this room is a providential relationship for me, okay? You're a providential relationship for me, and I hope to God that I'm a providential relationship to you because that's one of my goals. I pray that when you see me, you say, God brought these individuals into my life at just the right time, because we all have those. That is a way to grow. Number four is not going to seem like a inspirational one. I can get behind the first three and like, yeah, this one, it's just going to take plain work, okay? It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take show up. It's going to take, I'm going to get off my behind, and I'm going to serve God, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to hang out with God, okay? The fourth one is, and I had a hard time really getting this, but private spiritual disciplines. This is where there are certain things I do. I get away with God by myself. It's not a show, okay? It's not a show to impress God. It's not a show to impress the church. It's not a show to impress anybody. It is just me and God spending time together, and that spending time with God is going to help me grow. If I wanted to grow in my relationship with you, I'd spend time with you. I'd get to know you a little bit more. You start spending time with me, and you go, oh, that's why he is that way. Oh, I get it. And then you heard my story and I heard your story, things would start to click a little bit. And that's the same with God. When you hang out with God and you talk to God and you listen to God, still small voice, you start going and you start reading his scripture and you pray to him and you worship him and you fast and you focus on him and you do those things, you're going to start to go, oh, I get it. Not that you'll understand everything about God, because he's mysterious. He's holy. He identifies us through Jesus Christ, but he's so supernatural. It's like, wow, he's a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. So private spiritual disciplines. This is not something that you come and you go, hallelujah, amen. This is one of those ones you go, yeah, I know, I get it. Okay, all right. This is not a pest. I'm not going to sit there and look at your house and say, where's your Bible at? Where's your Bible reading plan? Where do you pray? I'm not going to do that. This is between you and God. This is a private spiritual disciplines, those things that we do. See, every faith story, if you were to come up here and you were to share your faith story, every single one of you, if you're growing in Christ, if you're here and you're saying, I have grown in Christ, I guarantee you it would include these words. And then I begin to read my Bible. Because it wasn't really until I started actually reading my Bible consistently that I started growing. Because at first, when I was first a Christian, I listened to the pastor preach. I thought that was enough for the week. That's like eating once a week. Trust me. I wouldn't get this body if I ate once a week. I'd be thin. I'd be 130 pounds. Maybe that I should do that. But no, I wouldn't want to do that. I'd be weak. And then you know, another thing, and then I began to really pray. Because that happened in my life. I am not the best prayer. There's people that are really, they're really gifted in prayer. They're a prayer warrior. I'll call it that. They're powerful. When they pray, it's like the room shakes, heaven shakes. But when I was first a Christian, my prayers consisted of dinner time going, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this food. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody ever pray that prayer? Lord, thank you for today. God be with me. And he's like, I'm here with you. Have you ever thought about that? God be with me. I'm here. It actually, where I learned it from someone else when I was first a Christian, that there are differences between just saying, Lord, and this is nothing wrong with saying, Lord, quick prayers. Lord, thank you. I praise you. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But then there's moments where you are fighting on behalf of someone else. You are dealing with something. You're in a battle right now, and you need to suit up armor. You need a sword. You need a shield. You are fighting. That's the difference between someone that's fighting in their prayers, and they're seeking God, and they're taking the enemy, and they're kicking his behind and get out of there, and then someone that's going, oh, we thank you, Lord, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Like, there's a difference. And I've done both, believe me. So that was another thing that if you're growing, you'll say, and then I began to really pray. And then I began to give financially to the church with a very specific predetermined plan. How do I know that? My mom taught me how to budget. Anybody else's parent teach you how to budget? You wish you can go back in time and they could teach you how to budget? Like, my mom was a very good, she was to the dollar. To the cent. Everything was accounted for. Everything. And she taught me how to budget. And she taught me. And one thing I learned very quick is if I don't pre-plan my giving to God, and I'm not even going to use the word tithe. The Bible calls it a tithe, 10%. I'm just saying, what is God leading us to give? Okay? For some of us, it might be more than 10%. I had to throw that out there. Okay, whatever God wants. But I learned quickly, if I don't pre-plan that, that's not going to happen. Have you noticed that everything costs a little bit more? Right? I go to the grocery store, it's a lot more. So it's easy to say, and I'm going to use this in quotes, non-essentials to be thrown to the wayside. Okay? It's true. Non-essentials. Now, some essentials I keep, ice cream, no matter what, coffee, no matter what, tithing, whatever. But you have to predetermine. That is everyone's story. And then I did that. And then I showed up consistently at church with other believers for encouragement, fellowship, and to spur one another on. We talked about that last week. And you know what people would say? They've done that consistently over and over and over. I have grown in my faith since I've done these private spiritual disciplines. Now, again, you're not sitting there. I'm not here being a cheerleader today. I'll do that next week on Easter. Resurrection Sunday, because we're going to celebrate. Today, it's one of those deeper sermons that if you just open up your heart for just a little bit, you'll go, I know it hurts. It's something I might not want to hear, but I know it's for my benefit. Okay? Because private spiritual disciplines are one of those, maybe some of us would call it necessary evils, but they're necessary. They're necessary. The word that I wanted to use, and I've thought about it all week, was the word pre-decided. If you want something to happen in your life, you need to pre-decide it. If I want to grow in my relationship with my wife or my son or my job, I can't just half-heartedly or haphazardly just show up. I go, you know what? I just decide I'm going to be a better husband. I can't do that. I have to pre-decide beforehand. way before I'm actually going to do it, saying, you know what, this, and it doesn't have to be that, it could be anything. I've decided this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek it out. I'm going to grow in this area, and that's it. You have to pre-decide. Okay? Maybe I have pre-decided before I'm going to read my Bible first thing in the morning or at 12 noon or before bed. I have to have a plan. If you're reading your Bible, you will know the difference between having a plan and just kind of opening up for whatever the verse is for the day. Okay? Again, sometimes you open up the Bible randomly, and I've done that, where I'm like, okay, what? Let me read this Psalm chapter 1 today. Let's just do that. And I'm like, oh, I love that. So I'm not saying don't do that. It's just much better to have a plan. If you have it planned out, it's going to happen, okay, for the most part. If I don't plan it, other things show up and go, oh, look, did you see me? I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't do that right now. Boom. Oh, boom. And we do that every time. If we want to grow in any area, we have to pre-decide. Okay, and I want to say something. The most important in your life is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I've been talking this entire series, so I'm going to say something that might seem contradictory to what I've already talked about. It is more important than your corporate worship, even though that's vital to your growth. It's more important than showing up at a small group. It's more important than corporate worship, even though I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Okay? The most important thing that you can do in your walk with God to grow is what I would call a personal time with God, a personal relationship with God. This is like when you teach teenagers, usually. Maybe you don't say it this way, but, you know, today we're going to try to help you build your own faith and not the faith of your mom and dad. Okay, and when that student decides, you know what, I trust in Jesus, not in the faith of my mom and dad, you celebrate it. Then they really grow because it's their own. So private time with God, a personal relationship is saying, I am taking my own accountability for my growth. I can't put my growth is not his responsibility. It's not her responsibility. My spiritual growth is not Lydia's responsibility, period. They can help, and they do help, but it's not their responsibility. It is if I want to grow in Christ, it is my responsibility. I have to take accountability of my own faith. I can't rely on other people because sometimes they are too busy to do that, and it's obvious. We can't be everywhere at once. We're not God. But I will pre-decide that I want to grow in Christ, and so I'm going to do what it takes to grow in Christ. I want my faith to deepen so much, and if I've even deepened my walk with God even just that much, I want to continue on bit by bit. How do you dig a trench, a deep trench, one shovel load at a time? If I grab a wheelbarrow and try to use the wheelbarrow to dig the whole thing, it ain't going to work, right? Okay, some of us are going to say, I'm going to get some kind of other huge machinery and go, whoosh. I'm talking about just, I'll give you a shovel. Dwayne, here's a shovel. I want you to dig a trench. I want it to go 20 feet deep. I want it to go 100 yards wide, and I need you to do it. How are you going to do it? You're going to throw the shovel away. No. I'm going to one shovel load. How are you going to deepen your walk with God? One step at a time. One shovel load at a time. One Bible session at a time. One prayer at a time. And you will grow. But you have to pre-decide. I can't just look at the ground and see a trench being built by itself. I have to pre-decide. I'm going to go get a shovel, not just this little rinky-dink little, and I use that word rinky-dink because Lydia used that word when we were walking. I don't remember what. But I'm not just using those little trout, whatever they are, the little garden things, because that's stupid. I'm getting the biggest shovel that I'm going. And I'm going to get you have to pre-decide. You can't just go there, okay, I'm going to kick a little bit of dirt, and then expect to get a trench. No, you got to get the right tools. So you have to pre-decide. You can't half-heartedly just go, yeah, whatever. Okay? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Anybody can sing that song? No turning back. Okay, I've decided not just to believe in Jesus, that he exists. I have decided to follow Jesus. And I've predetermined that I'm not going to turn my back on him. That's bold because I've met a lot of people that have. It's kind of like my marriage. We've pre-decided before we got married that we're never going to get divorced. Period. So we've had to work through some things. How's that for bold? We have. Because any relationship, whether marriage or not, it's easy to just go, oh, I'm done. Walk away. That could have been easy. But that's just one example. You have to pre-decide, I'm gonna follow Jesus. I'm not turning back. I'm burning the plows, if you will. Gone, done. I'm walking, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be frustrating. There's going to be times I'm going to want to give up on the church, give up on Jesus. There's times I want to do that. But I refuse to do that because I've pre-decided. But that's going to take some things that I need to do in my life to help me grow. So I'm not a surface-level Christian. In fact, our main prayer must be this: Lord, your will be done in my life. Your will, not my will, be done. Lord, your will be done in my life. See, our faith is both, it's both like public and private. Some people just have a private faith that they don't even share it with anybody. I've met people that I learned later on that they're a Christian. And I'm like, I had no idea. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I had no idea they believed in Christ. It would have been nice to know that because we'd had some good conversations. But we have a faith that's both public where, yes, we're sharing our faith. Yes, we're gathering together with each other, with the saints, and we're worshiping Jesus together. I'm showing my faith to you guys, but it's not just that. I have decided, you know what, there's this internal part of in my life that it's just me and God. It's just, I sit there with my Bible open, I pray, I worship. There are times that I fast and I replace that with prayer or Bible. You know, there's times that's what I do. I choose Jesus. He obviously chooses me. I believe that he chose me first, but that's beside the point. Okay? He chose me. I choose him. He loved me first. I love him. Our faith must be internal. It must impact the deepest part of my life, where he actually is our life, not just a part of our life. I say it all the time in my life and here. If life is like a pie, Jesus is not just one slice. Some of us are really good. Jesus, you're the biggest slice of my pie of my life. I have my financial life, I have my marriage, I have my finances, but Jesus, you're this big piece of pie. It sounds good. He doesn't want to just be part of our life. He wants to be our very life. If we don't make our faith internal, if we just kind of just play the part, then what happens is very dangerous. We're no longer following Jesus. We're just Christian. See, I'm not saying, and I said this a lot about Christian, but the Christian is not a bad word. I mean, it's what we are. If you want to be, we're evangelical Christian, okay? But there's a lot of people, I mean, there are celebrities that say they're Christian. There's people that, I'm a Christian, but for some reason, they don't allow Jesus to penetrate their heart. There's no difference in their heart. They just play, they're like an actor in a sense. They just look the part. They play Christian, and then when they're in their private time, it's just them. That's it. We need to, instead of following Jesus, we become just Christian. Jesus didn't call us to be Christian. He called us to follow him. Do what he's calling us to do. To be obedient to his word and to him. Now, there are usually three private disciplines that I do and that people who grow are constantly doing. Again, this is not something to go, wow, this is amazing. Thank you, Pastor Joel. You don't have to say thank you. You don't have to thank me afterwards, trust me. Because this is a necessary thing that is tough. It's difficult. It's like going up to Lydia, or Lydia going up to me and knowing that we need to grow in our relationship. And she says, we need to sit down and have a conversation. And then we sit down and she says, we need to grow in our relationship closer to each other. It's been a while since we're kind of distant. I don't want to hear it, but at the same time, I realize that maybe it's true. Okay? So this might be that kind of talk where I'm sitting with you and you go, I know it's true, but I don't like it. So there's three things. And we're going to talk about these and then we'll be done. Number one, daily devotions. Number two, pre-planned giving. And number three, corporate worship. Number three, if you're here, corporate worship. Look at that. You guys are good, 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 good. What I like about daily devotions is I can't tell you exactly what that looks like for you. Okay? I can't tell you what that looks like, but it's obvious that we need to be in the Bible. And I've been a huge fan of a Bible reading plan that's free and it's on your phone or if you have a computer or if you have a tablet, YouVersion Bible reading plan, YouVersion. And I've said that many times, but it is the number one Bible reading plan that I've ever seen. It has multiple translations, it has videos, it has different reading plans that you can look at. I mean, there's too many. So this is something that's helped me along the process to read the Bible consistently. Sometimes they'll say, oh, you want to read about Jesus' life? And then it'll take you through Matthew and different things. It's great. It is great, and it's 100% free. Okay, the church that made it, lifechurch.tv, or now it's called life.church. Anyway, I need to get up with the times. Life.church is the church's website, but they made it and paid for it. And so it's great. So that's what I would recommend if you want to get into the Bible. If you're not in the Bible, if you don't read the Bible, you just start. Because I had someone talk to me a while ago who said, well, I don't really read the Bible, but where do I start? And I said, that's a great question. Where do you start? Do I start in Genesis? I go, maybe. But I said, if you want to, right now, if you were on a deserted island and you had 5 minutes to live, or let's say 5 hours to live, and you had nothing else, what are you going to read? I would say the Gospels, Mark. That's what I threw it to him. And I bought him, or John, someone wants to read John. I told this guy because he had never read the Bible before, and I bought him a Bible. It was great. I gave it to him at the store, and you thought I gave him a bar of gold, you know. But the Lord just said, give him a Bible to help. And, you know, I underlined a few things, and I just get to know Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. So that's what I'd recommend. If you're not reading the Bible, which again, it's a discipline. It's a habit. It's an easy habit to get rid of too. It's so easy to not read the Bible. Okay, believe me, it's difficult. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. You have a million different things on your plate. I get it. But it's one of those things that if you don't read your Bible, read the Gospels, period. Didn't go to Romans. I would say Acts, and then I would say Romans. Start there, then go to James. But other than that, you know, that's where you begin. But anyway, then you would pray, of course. And I'm talking about prayer, not just quick little prayers. I'm talking about you're at warfare. You're battling. You're fighting. In the spiritual realm, you are fighting, and then you worship. And it's more than music, but for me, when I spend time with the Lord, it's in the car, or it's on the way to work. It's maybe I on Alexa, I say, Alexa, play worship music, and I just have music playing. And it gets my heart right with God. It just does. It always gets my heart right with God. And sometimes I fast. I'm not a good faster. You guys like fasting? I don't love fasting. How's that for bold? But I substitute, you know, food or TV or media, and I just spend more time with God. And see, Jesus assumed that we were going to spend time with him every day. Matthew, where's the Bible at? Here we go. Matthew 6, verse 6. I love this. In the middle of his Sermon on the Mount, he says, but when you pray, everybody say, when you pray. When you pray, I'm going to say it again. Ready? Let's say it. When you pray. When you pray, he's assuming that you will, go away by yourself. Don't make it a show. Don't make it a show. Go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private, and then your Father who sees everything will reward you. What kind of reward do you think he gives you for spending time with him? More money. No. Let's just throw that out of there. He makes me more rich. Yeah, you'll have a richer relationship with God, I guarantee you. He'll reward you. How? A deeper walk with God. That's what he's talking about. Then the Father sees everything, he'll reward you. What do you mean, God? That there's definitely this blessing. It's like any father. If you're a father or a parent, or anybody that likes to hang out, if you're whatever, and someone comes up to you and they love to spend time with you. Isn't that like, doesn't that bring a smile to your face? You're like, ah. Like Facebook's very good at reminding me of Hayden when he was little. Lydia shared me a picture when Hayden's sitting in the chair with me. I'm reading him a book. I'm like, man, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, he's 17. It's not going to happen. But, you know, he's sitting next to me in my chair, and I'm reading a book. And I guarantee you, I'm not making this up, that was my favorite times with Hayden, was sitting there reading a book. And if I'm like that, how much more does God love spending time with us? 100%, 1,000,000% more than we do. And I'm just a regular father. Jesus is commanding us to have a private, focused, not showing off time with God. I turn off my phone. I turn off my computer. I turn off no work, no show. God deserves my undivided attention. See, of course, Jesus practiced what he preached. Look at Luke 5:15, because Jesus doesn't just teach, he practices what he preaches. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster. He's getting popular. He was getting very busy. If you're busy, you have no excuse. Jesus made no excuses that he's too busy. And vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. So he's busy, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. He's so busy. I read a book one time by a pastor named Bill Hybels. I won't get into the story of him, but it was a good book. He was a good pastor until, anyway. Bill Hybels wrote a book that says, Too Busy Not to Pray. It's a revolutionary book. Because I've had times where I said, God, I'm too busy. I can't do it. I have no time. He says, busy people and people that do the Father's work, they say, I am too busy not to do this. I have to spend time with my Father. I have to connect with God. Because if I'm doing the will of God, if I'm doing God the Father's business, I have to have time where I'm connecting with God, because He's the one that's going with me. He's the one that's going before me. He's the one that's anointing me with His Spirit. That's why if Jesus had to do that, how much more do I have to do that? A lot. He also said in Mark chapter 1, we'll read a few verses. We'll start with verse 35. Mark 1, verse 35. Before daybreak the next morning, some translators say early the next morning. I'm already done with this verse. No, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up, made himself a cup of coffee. I had to throw that in there. And he went out to an ice, and he got a donut, okay? And he went to an isolated place to pray. Already, I'm already done. But I guarantee you, Jesus pre-decided he was going to do that, okay? They didn't have alarm clocks. He said, I'm going to wake up. I don't care what it is. I'm waking up. Oop, the sun's still not here. I'm going. Jesus got up, went to an isolated place to pray, and then verse 36, finally the disciples wake up. They didn't wake up early. Later, Simon and the others went out to find Jesus. When they found him, everyone said, everyone is looking for you. So while Jesus is praying with his Father and connecting with his Father and having quiet time with God, everyone else is going, come on, I need more. Give me food. Teach me. Hurry up. Come on. The disciples are saying, we've got things to do, Jesus. You're way too busy for this. Come on, let's go. We're hungry. Can you make me some breakfast? I guarantee that's how it went. Okay? Because all they're worrying about was food. Typical men, right? I'm always thinking about food too. Okay? But Jesus would say that because he had so many important things to do, he had to spend time with his Father. He had to connect with his Father. There is no doubt about it that if Jesus is 100% God, I'll give you that. He's 100% God, right? The Bible talks about him. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Okay, he's God. But he's also 100% human. So his body can become weak. His body can become tired. He had to rely on the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father. He had to rely on them because he had to. He goes, I have so many, I have healings to do. I have to go to the cross ultimately. I have to teach doctrine. I have to do all this stuff. I have to provide food. They're following me. But I have to stop and I have to spend time with my Father. It's a discipline. It's a habit. We have to spend time with God. And it is a discipline. But we have to pre-decide. The second one, again, maybe it's not something you celebrate, but it's something that does help us grow. Pre-planned giving. We've talked about daily devotions, and I can't tell you how that looks for you. It's going to be different. And what time it's going to be at, it's between you and God. Pre-planned giving. I've learned it from the heart, from years of putting it in my budget. Even the times that we're struggling financially, that this is something that we're doing. I'm not doing that to make me look like the spiritual one. No, there's times in our past, in my past, that I said, I'll do when I can. Right now, I just can't, especially when I was in college. I mean, I was like, I got $5 in my wallet. And that $5 could go to the church. Or that $5, I could walk over to 7-Eleven, get a hot dog, and top the thing off with chili and cheese at midnight. Who knows how long the hot dog's been on that roller. But, I mean, me and my buddy would walk to 7-Eleven. We'd get that thing. We'd get a Slurpee. And we'd walk back with the Slurpee and this hot dog with chili and cheese. Oh, man, it would be fun. But that's, I mean, look, let me be not pastor for just a moment. What seems a little bit more, okay, don't answer that if you're not into hot dogs and chili and cheese. But let's be honest. Which one seems like a little more fun? Giving that $5 to the church and just be done with it and not showing off to anybody, just kind of sneaking it into the offering bag. So no, I'm not sitting there going, you know, Pastor Tom, which led me to the Lord, Pastor Tom, this is the last $5 I have. Here you go, right? Or I'm going to have this hot dog and a Slurpee. And we're walking and we're watching a movie back in the dorms. You tell me, as a 20-year-old, which one seems more fun? The hot dog, 7-Eleven, Slurpee, and watching a movie in the dorms. Come on. So I really struggled. So you better believe, if I didn't have a pre-plan, it never would have happened. It would have gone to 7-Eleven until across the street they opened up a Starbucks. Then that changed my life. That Starbucks was not there when I first started there. It was a bread store. And it turned into a Starbucks. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you have to pre-plan your giving. The Bible talks about tithe. Jesus mentioned a tithe. He did. Okay? Tithe is the Old Testament. Jesus talked about tithes. Then you go into Paul's letters and he talked about more than a tithe. So which one do you want? You know? That's what someone told me one time. But you have to pre-decide. You have to say, Lord, between you and God, this is not between you and someone else. Unless you're married, you need to talk to your spouse. You need to plan together, okay? But you, between you and God, you say, this is what God is telling me to give right here, okay? This is not about me. Look, I have another job. This is not about paying Pastor Joel at all, okay? This is not about making sure I get my new car fund. Or my new house fund. Okay, my house is from 1975. It's 880 square feet. It's not even about that. And I go, well, what is it about? Because giving is one of those things that it's actually connected with the condition of my heart, the fact that I give or not, okay? Giving is all about my priority. Giving and money is all about my confidence in God if he's going to show up or not. Okay, in fact, Matthew chapter 6, right in the middle of a sermon, again, he's preaching, in chapter 6, verse 31 and following. I love these verses, and you will too. He's talking about money, but he says, right in the middle of all that, he says, so don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? Pause. There are some people in the United States of America, they are worried about the next meal. There are people that worry about, they don't have any good clothing. They've been wearing the same clothes for 2 months. So that those people do exist. Okay, in my world, I have never, ever, ever, I've been somehow blessed where My parents were not rich, but we always had a house over. We always had a home. I had a roof. We had food. Sometimes we had my mom's goulash, which was not good. It was whatever was left over and threw it together. Okay? Sometimes we had pancakes. Sometimes we had that. I never worried about what we will drink or what we'll eat, what we'll wear. If we didn't have any milk or that, I had a little faucet that I just went, and it turned on, and the water came out supernaturally. These days, they had to worry about it. They couldn't just go to Walmart and get a cheap shirt. Walmart special. No, I think this was at the mall. I don't remember. But like, think about us. We worry about things like, do I have enough? Do I have enough in my bank account? Do I have enough in my 401k? My retirement fund. Oh, because Pepsi offers a 401k, and it's so easy to look at that thing and go, ooh, it went down this year. Ooh, I lost $10,000. Ooh, ouch. Ooh, I lost $15,000. Ouch. That I learned to go, nope, not looking at it. I had someone tell me not to look at it, just wait it out. Okay? But these things, what? Dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Another translation says pagans. Pagans run after these things. Pagans, it dominates their minds, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. My confidence level in God must be to the point that I know He already knows what I need and He'll be the one that provides it. But it takes confidence. If I don't have confidence in God, guess what? I'm going, do I have enough? Because money is the number one reason for divorce, for depression, for suicide, for whatever. It's the money. It's about everything. Okay? Verse 33. Don't be consumed with that thought, but seek first. I love this. My favorite. I truly do love this verse. I say this a lot, but this is number one. Okay, I do like John 3:16 for nostalgic reasons, but I love this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He, God, will give you everything that you need. If you keep your priorities in check, if you make sure it's about God and His business, He will be the one that provides. We need to be like Jesus like this. What was He doing when He was 12 years old even? He was about the Father's business. He wasn't about His own business, even at 12. So we know from at least 12 till He died, 33, 31, 32, whatever, that He actually was about the Father's business, not about His own, and what? God provided for Him. He didn't even have a place to live. He had no place to lay His head. It says. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that. But God always provided for Him. He was homeless, yet God provided for him. God, seek the kingdom of God. Be about the Father's business. See, I was thinking about this a lot the other day, and I had to put it on the slide here. Giving, remember, how do you grow your faith? You have to exercise. It's a muscle, right? You have to put yourself in a situation that it's going to cause you to grow your faith and trust in God. Giving exercises our faith. Why? Because it involves letting go of what we are most inclined to put our confidence in rather than God. In other words, when my wallet's full of money or if my bank account's fine, I'm good, I feel so confident in God a lot of times. I'm doing great. Thank you, Lord. But it's those moments where I'm like, ooh. You ever had that moment where you check the bank account and you have a negative number? I mean, it's been a while. But, right, Lid? I mean, we've had that moment, that scary moment. Hey, I owe the bank money right now, plus some fees. It's a great feeling. All of a sudden, I don't feel so close to God anymore. Why is that? Because we take that money and we actually put confidence in it more than we have confidence in God. That's why giving stretches our faith muscles so much. Because you place yourself in a place that forces you to trust and put your confidence in God. Remember the prayer that we did a couple weeks ago, and I said, this is a dangerous prayer. Lord, put me in a situation where I have to grow my faith. That prayer is so dangerous. If you want to live uncomfortably, pray that prayer. Yeah. If you want to be comfortable and you fine, don't do anything, you just won't grow in Christ. We got to choose. But Lord, put me in places that I am stretching my faith muscle. I'm exercising my faith muscle. And one of the ways that we do that is our giving. Why? Because we're letting go of the very thing that we put our confidence in a lot more than we put in God, for most humanity, not just us. Most people put their confidence in this almighty dollar. Even though our dollar says, what does it say? In God we trust. But in God we trust, fine. But do we trust in the almighty Benjamin Franklin? Notice I noticed that. I said the $100 bill. I was going to say George Washington, but even that's not enough to buy a candy bar anymore, right? I need a couple Benjamins here, right? And you're like, who's that? He's on a $100 bill, okay? Once in a while, you might get that. But God is asking us, are we trusting him? Or are we trusting in my stuff? Last but not least, we're not going to focus on this one really at all because we focused on it last week. The third way that you grow, the third private discipline, daily devotions, pre-planned giving, and number three, corporate worship. If you're here in the church building, congratulations. Yay. Corporate worship. Now, I have been a Christian for, it'd be like 28 years. And my faith in God is almost 30 years old. That's awesome. But I've never once regretted gathering with the saints. Never. Ever have I ever regretted. When I leave this place and go in my car and go home, I'm like, thank you, Lord, for that. Now, if that's not your experience, I would challenge all of us, including me, is to go to church with this highly anticipated spirit about us. Like, because where two or three gather together, there he is. There's this anointing. So corporate worship, and we're going to be done. Just a couple more slides and we'll be done. Because something personal happens. Something happens personally when we gather corporately. When we sing praise songs together, there is something that happens in my heart when I worship. 100% guarantee. 100% guarantee that I am closer to God when we worship together. And when I'm in my house worshiping, sure, I feel close to God, but it's not. There's something missing. There's something missing. I don't know why. Oh, yeah, I do. Other people. We're the body of Christ. See, Matthew 18, verse 20, we've mentioned this a few times today, where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. That simply means there's an anointing that happens when you gather together that you can't get by yourself. Don't ask me to explain that. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Last verse, 1 Corinthians 12:27. All of you, what? Together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So, I'll close with this. Every single one of you might feel like you're not necessary, if you want to call it that, in the kingdom of God. You might feel, I'm not saying you are, you might feel like you're the least. You're the pinky toe. Like the only time that you remember you have a pinky toe is when you hit it on something. But other than that, you forget about it. You might feel like that. You might feel like the armpit. Right? But I'm telling you, when it comes to the body of Christ, you are vital. I don't care if you're the pinky toe. I think you're a lot more than that. But if you feel like you're the pinky toe, fine, be the pinky toe. You're vital. Cut off your pinky toe and tell me that's not important. Okay? Get rid of an arm and tell me it's not important. Get rid of an eyeball and tell me it's not important. Every piece is important. And when the body of Christ is missing an eye, is missing an arm, is missing a pinky toe, if it's missing a nose, if it's missing a hair, you're going to be suffering as the body. To have it complete is what makes it the most healthy. And all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part. Every part is important. Every part is needed. If you want to grow in Christ, corporate worship. the corporate gathering is vital. It's essential. It's necessary. It's not optional. Let's pray. Father, help us to grow. Help us to grow, Lord God. Help us to have a deeper walk with you. But just like the old song says, Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. Yes, Lord, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm not turning back. There is no turning back because I've decided to follow Jesus. And I thank you for my brother and sister in Christ. I pray for blessing on them as they go. I pray that they would be able to celebrate their relationship with you and that this week would be a week of growth, would be a week where we grow deeper in God, that we take our shovels and we're digging and we're working and we're spending time with you and we're praying and we're reading scripture and we're worshiping and we're fasting. And Lord, I believe that we're going to grow in our faith if those are the things that help us grow. Because that's been all, I think that's been all of our stories over the years, if we are being honest. And it's those times that we slow down on those things that our growth kind of slows down a little bit. I pray for supernatural things to happen in our life right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.